Dear learners, today we are moving to lesson 24, National Income and Related Aggregates. Our economy is producing many products. For what these products are produced? Yes, to get income to our economy. And in order to understand more these in detail, we should know certain terms relating to income, that is factor income, non-factor income, circular flow of income, and we have to identify what are the basic economic activities. There is closed economy, open economy, and certain other terms like stock and flow. So we can discuss this matter in detail, and we have our expert Manish sir to explain this lesson in detail. Sir, please explain this.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. So as rightly said, when we are talking about the production in a particular economy or in a particular country, the main aim of these producers is to satisfy the need and wants of the consumer or the customer. For that, they are engaged in the activity, so they are producing the goods and services which will satisfy these needs and wants. So during the production process, income is generated in the economy. So whether I am selling a tomato in the market, whether I am providing services like education services, consultancy services, or railways, so we are generating income for a nation. So today we'll talk about the national income. What do we mean by it, and what are the related aggregates related to the national income? So when we talk about national income, it is a combination of two words. One is nation, one is income. So let us first take the income. What do we mean by income from the economics point of view, and then we'll talk about the national income. What do we mean by national income? So coming to the income, which is the first part, the second part of the national income. So in the economy, we receive different types of income. When we are working in the organizations, we are getting salaries from the employers. When some labor is working in the manufacturing unit or production unit, he is also getting the wages, and different people get maybe the wages or the salaries. Or sometimes we are getting the donations, free gifts from some of the relatives or the friends, or maybe we are paying taxes. So we are talking about money. So all these incomes can be grouped into two different types of income. First being factor income, second being non-factor income. So by the name itself, when we are receiving income for any factor of production, related to any factor of production, we call it the factor income. For example, you must have studied that for producing or in the process of production, we are using four major factors or factors of production, which is land, labor, then capital, and entrepreneurship. So when we are using the labor, for example, the first component, so labor includes all physical and mental efforts of human beings used for production of goods and services. That means whether you are involved in the physical activity or some mental activity or mental efforts. For example, right now if I am delivering a lecture, it is not, so I am not doing any physical activity, but it is the mental activity. So in all the cases, for mostly physical efforts, you are getting the wages, and when you are involved in more towards the mental efforts, we call it salaries. So we are getting wages and salaries. So whatever remuneration that we are paying to the employees or the workers, we will include it as compensation to the employees, in which we have two major components. One is wages and salaries. So this is the first income. Second is land. So when we are providing the land, by land in economics we mean that all is given to us free by nature, on earth, below the earth, or above the surface of the earth. So when we say below the earth, so all the minerals that we have below the surface level, that is also land. When we are talking about some land for making some plant and machinery, that is also a part of land. Or above the land, which means sunlight that we are getting, the air we have, the water we have, again that will be a part of the land. But so the first important thing about land is it is freely available. But most of you might be thinking that in these days, today, if we have to have land, we have to pay money or we have to pay rent. So earlier when we talk about land, it was freely available. But as this resource is becoming scarce, sale and purchase of land started. So those who are owning the land, they have started charging price for it. So such a payment to the landowner, landlord, is termed as rent. So we have to pay rent for the land that we are using for the production process. Third is the capital. Capital means whatever resources we are using, those who are man-made resources used for producing goods and services, like any structure or building we are creating on land, machinery, equipment, maybe some vehicle that we are using, stock of material that we are using. So that we will include in capital or the money. So the payment made to the owner of the capital for the use of capital is termed as interest. So whenever we are using these resources, which are the man-made resources, so we have to pay interest on it. That will be the earning for the capital owner. Fourth is entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship means a person who is taking the initiative to start a business. It may be a single person, it may be a group of person. So when they are combining these resources, the labor, land and capital, then only they can start the process of production. As a result, they are getting the profits out of it. So four different factors of production we are talking about, which is land, labor, capital and entrepreneurship. And in return, we are getting rent for the land that we are providing, wages and salaries for the labor, interest for the capital and profit for the entrepreneurship. So combining these four will be the factor income of an. So we will combine these in the factor income.
Okay. So up to this, sir has explained about the income factor that is coming to our nation. And first income factor is the factor income. Under that, we have divided it into land, labor, capital and entrepreneurship. Yes, from labor, from the land, if you are using, you have to pay certain rent for that land. Then only production process can be run. That is why, that is, or if you are using that land, then rent will come to that particular person. In that way, income is rent for that land. Laborers are getting wages and salaries, so that is a type of remuneration that is going to the laborers. For capital, we are receiving interest. Entrepreneurship, which is an important factor nowadays, without entrepreneurship skill, without innovative skill, without risk bearing skill, any business cannot run because of this high competition. As our economy is becoming more and more global, we have to use efficiently our entrepreneurship skills. Most of the businesses are using it in an innovative way like this. They are creating new business models or improved business models. Then only innovation can occur in every business organization. For example, nowadays, most of the companies are using computer communication technology, or some of the businesses are using hyper-integrated supply chain in order to get maximum profit. Entrepreneurship skill is a skill that can be trained, or through training only you will get, by through knowledge only you will get. It is not a skill that will come to you all on a sudden or by birth. So this is the main skill that India requires nowadays. We need more job opportunities, and for that, entrepreneurship skill, which is an important quality that we have to acquire, and that is an important skill. And for that, if you are putting more, definitely more profit. Why big organizations or reputed organizations are getting more income or more profit? Because of the high entrepreneurship skill strategies that they are adopting according to the latest trends that is available. So these are the factors of production, or land, labor, capital and entrepreneurship can be considered as factor incomes. Now we can move to non-factor income, which is also influencing income of our economy.
So when we talk about the factor income, we are sacrificing something. Like in case of land, we are providing the land, or we are providing the labor, or we are providing the capital. So the another type of income is for which we are not sacrificing anything. A person who is receiving the income, he is not giving anything in return. So for example, when we talk about gifts, when we talk about donations, charities, taxes, the fine that we are paying, so in this case we are not sacrificing anything. If we are giving a gift to some other person, we are not getting anything in return. So no production activity is involved in getting these incomes. So that is the reason we are calling it non-factor incomes, income which are not because of the factor of production but because of any other reason. So these incomes are called transfer incomes. When we are giving the gift, so we will include it as transfer income, that we are transferring it from one person to another without getting anything in return. And such income merely represents transfer of money without any good or service being provided in return to the recipient. And these incomes are not included in national income. So this is very important. So when we talk about national income, we will only be including factor incomes, not non-factor incomes. Reason being, when we are giving the gift to some person, we are not producing anything. So it will not be the production activity. So the whatever money that we are transferring will not be included in the nation of the income. So as a student, we must remember this, that we will only be including factor incomes, but we will exclude the non-factor incomes.
So I think it is time for us to consider about the basic economic activities. Then only we can move deep into the national income, no?
So when we talk about economic activities, there are three major important activities which will help us in understanding the circular flow of income and the concepts related to the national income. The first one being the production, second is consumption, and third is investment. So these are the three major activities. Coming to the first part, which is production. Production means when we are producing the goods and services, when we are converting the input into output, we are using certain resources and then we are adding value to those resources and we are providing some goods and services which will ultimately satisfy the need and want of the consumer. So it is the process of adding value to an existing commodity. For example, if a carpenter purchases wood worth rupees 100 from the market and makes furniture from it and sell it maybe at rupees 2000 or 2500 in the market, so he is adding value. So he is taking input as the wood and then he is using his skills, he is converting that food into the furniture and then selling it in the market for rupees 2000. So that 1000 is the value which he has added to that wood. So this is known as production. That means we are producing something.
So in the case of production, I would like to say, whenever you are engaged in production activity, try to grab opportunities that is coming in the market. For example, in the case of passenger vehicles, nowadays we are selling petrol, diesel or CNG type of sales, or passenger vehicles are sold. In the last year, I think 32 lakh were sold. So why can't we shift to electric passenger vehicles? So that our pollution, so everything should be, when we are considering production factor also, environment friendly activities or socially accepted for the society, what all benefits should come. Always production centers should think about that. In that way, production should run. So if we are reducing the sales of these type of petrol, diesel and CNG type of cars and implementing electric vehicles, definitely pollution can be controlled and the same time cost of production also up to some extent you can control. So in this way, these are some of the innovative techniques that can be applied in roads just to avoid the traffic also. Mass transportation systems should also be in this way. So that is about the production. Then we can move to consumption also.
So rightly said, when we are saying we have to use the different sources or different resources, so that we are talking about actually the sustainable development.
Yes, definitely.
Because the resources which are available not only belongs to us but for the generations to come also. Because if we are using all the resources, we will not be able to provide the resources to the coming generation. So we have to use the resources in such a way that we are fulfilling the needs of the present without forgetting the needs of the future. So that is important. So we have to, because these resources are very scarce. So maybe someday you have seen the problems like in some of the cities or maybe the states, there is a problem of water, groundwater. So in Delhi also we are facing the same problem. So groundwater level is going down and down, and again we are not getting the water to drink. So what will happen after 10 years or 20 years? So we have to produce those goods and services which will actually fulfill the needs and wants of the consumers, but also will think about the future also.
And when we are saying this, whatever, we have reached a saturation level. Production capacity has reached a saturation level. So whatever at present we have, convert that into new products with the We can because nowadays with the help of cell phones and all, that is a common thing that is available. Everything in a mechanized way people are moving. Drivers are not at all locating the places properly. With the help of search engine only they are moving here and there. Nowadays if I am asking you, sir, where are you sitting, you will have to inquire into the search engine. Okay, I am sitting in Noida. Like that only everything is moving. No brain is being used by the next generation. That's a technique also that is being adopted by some other agencies and all. So innovation in this way also it can come. Fridge, for example, if the refrigerator is there, nowadays they are not ready to think about what all things are required in the house. Then fridge will say, okay ma'am, this thing, milk is not there, so you have to buy milk inside the fridge when we are keeping. Innovations can come in that way also. And relating to production, I would like to say one more thing. Whenever production activity is carried on, first think about the person who is doing that. That should be in a particular way, pure way. Then think about the ground in which it is to be operated. It should also be in a pure way. Then tools you have to use in the production process. Then the process of production. Then you can consider the fifth factor, which is a great factor. Okay. So we can move to consumption.
So the another economic activity is consumption. So whatever we have produced, we will talk about the consumption. So it says using up of produced goods and services for the direct satisfaction of the individuals, or it may be for the collective wants of the people. So that is known as consumption. So when we are using the food items, maybe clothing, shoes, watches, any particular good and services that as a household we are buying, that is consumption. Plus any expenditure which is made by the government for the collective consumption of the people, like they are building roads, they are making bridges, parks, schools, providing hospital services. So again, that is also consumption, because either it is by the direct household or it is for the collective use of the people. So that will be the consumption. Coming to the third part, which is investment, it is also known as capital formation. So when we are investing some amount, we are actually creating capital which will further help us in the production process. So it is the part of production which is left after consumption and used for creating physical assets like machinery, equipments, materials, and it is that part of production which is used for further production. That means, for example, if we have invested some amount in the organization, we are not utilizing it for the production in the current year, maybe in the coming time we will use that facilities. So we will call it as investment or capital formation. And so these three activities, which is production, consumption and investment, these three activities are actually interrelated and interdependent. Reason being, let us take an example. If we are increasing the production, it increases both consumption and investment, because if we have goods and services available, yes, definitely consumption and investment will increase. Increase in consumption, so if the goods and services we are consuming more and more, it will induces the producers to produce more, because unless we have the goods and services available in the market, how will we consume? So if the demand for some goods and services increasing in the market, that will increase the production as well. Increase in investment, so if we are increasing the investment in some organization or as a business unit, so it will increase the future production capacity of the country, which increases both production and investment in the coming time. So without production there can be neither consumption nor investment, and these three activities are actually interrelated and interdependent on each other.
Yes, definitely. Production, consumption and investment are interrelated. But whenever production activity is carried on, definitely as a business individual or as an individual entrepreneur, you have to think customer point of view, whether you have customer. Unless and until you didn't have any customer, you will not be able to do sales activities. So research or market research, whether you have customers, that is an important factor. Then I would like to say something about the production also, production as well as consumption also. Or investment. Look, India, in case of India is importing around 80% of the active pharmaceutical ingredients. That is, when we are making the drugs or medicines, we are taking, this is the raw material, active pharmaceutical ingredients, that is the raw material, raw material required to make any drug into a finished drug. We are importing it from China. Why we can't make this much, 80% of these production activities, why can't we do that in India? And we there is also a study and which came to know, from which we came to know that efficiency of our Indian drugs, it is not having enough the contents, enough chemical contents in that, like that, that is being produced in foreign countries and all. We have to invest, or we have to do research in this area, and we can capture the market that is available presently, that is with China. Why can't we invest in that? We can have the technology from these countries, or we can, we are already have scientists relating to these field, and we have to capture this market, then only our production can improve as well as our investment can improve. This is my suggestion. Okay, so we can go to closed economy and open economy.
An open economy is a term that we are using for a country which has economic relations with the rest of the world. And most of the countries these days are open economies. So let us study the feature of open economies. It says, whenever we have economic relation with other countries, that means we are importing some goods and services from the outside world, as rightly said by you, that for most of the ingredients for the pharmaceutical companies, we are importing the goods and services or the raw material from outside countries. Then we are exporting the goods and services, maybe sugar cane, maybe sugar we are exporting to the neighbor countries. So we are having some economic relations, we are having the trade with those organizations. And not only the trade, the flow of human also is the part of, when we talk about the open and closed economies, that most of the foreigners, those who are coming to our country for maybe the travel, maybe for tourism, and again we are also moving abroad. So an open economy is an economy or a country where they have, you know, movement of money, movement of capital, movement of people. So that is open economy.
So sir has said about open economy. I would like to say free trade. Okay, that is sir has said. So, but important point, free trade should be termed as fair trade, F-A-I-R, fair trade. Then only both the countries will improve, as well as production activities can go in a smooth way.
So adding to this, when we talk about the features of open economy, borrowing and lending are also important. So in certain cases, we are taking the loan from the World Bank, or we are lending some money to the some of the, you know, developing nations. So that will also be a part of the open economy. Whereas closed economy is one where the country is not having any economic relation with rest of the world, which is very rare these days. So that is the difference between open economy and closed economy. Open economy, which has connections with the rest of the world. Closed economy, which they are, in which they are only producing the goods and services for themselves, and they are not having any interaction with the outside world. Because of the globalization, yes, these days, because of the information technology services which are available in the market, yes, most of the economies, if you talk about, they are the open economies, because they have some relation with the outside world in one sense or some other sense.
So when we are talking about the closed economy, still there are some countries, when you means Indian products are being, when you want to sell those products in that country, because I have read research material relating to that. One organization tried to start a shop in that particular country, not even a single person entered that shop. That is a big company also, and they adopted many strategies. Still they are so orthodox that they will not come to that shop. At least entering that shop, that is the first thing, that in order to sell the product, and not at all entering that shop. Then they find it very difficult, and they adopted so many strategies, then only at least they got an opportunity, okay, without even at a loss, they got some sales in that way. So still that is prevailing if you are going and selling in foreign countries, I think so. Anyway, we can move to stock and flow.
So these two concepts are again very important to understand the national income and the related aggregates. Stock means which is something which is stagnant, which is not moving. So a stock is a quantity which is measured at a point of time. Say for example, at 4 p.m. maybe on 31st March, 4th of April, what is the quantity, what is the quantum? So for example, wealth or the population or money supply, when we talk about in the market, these are the stock concepts. On the other hand, when we talk about flow, it is a quantity which is measured over a period of time. So it is a continuous variable. For example, days, month, years, it has time dimension like national income, population growth or flow concept. We cannot say at 4 p.m. what is the growth rate of the country or what is the growth rate of the population. So it will be in the year. So it will be a flow concept. So to understand in a better way, we can say stock is like taking a photograph from a camera, and to understand the flow, it is like a video recording. So it is a continuous process. So when we are talking about a time dimension like national income, population, it will be a flow concept. We cannot measure it on a particular time or on a particular day, but yes, during a year. So we will use the word during. And when we talk about the stock concept, it is as on date. So that is the difference between stock and flow. Coming to the next, which is circular flow of income, which is very important. And for the students, yes, it is very important to understand that they may get a question on the circular flow of income, maybe a two sector model or maybe a four or five sector model. So circular flow of income, it says income flows in a circular mode. So to understand this, we will first study the circular flow of income in a two sector model, two sector economy without savings. That means one sector will be firms or the organizations or the producers, those who are producing the goods and services. Another will be household or the people, those who are using those goods and services. And we are assuming there is no savings. Whatever we are getting as salaries or income, we are using it on consumption. So let us try to understand. So when we talk about these organizations, what they are doing in the market, they are producing some goods and services so that they can satisfy the wants of these households, the another sector. So to produce the goods and services, what they require is factor of production, which is land, labor, capital and entrepreneurship. Now the question is, who will provide these factor of production? It is only the household, the second part. So these households are providing factor of production to these firms. So they are working in these organizations, they are providing capital, labor, then entrepreneurship, and these firms are able to produce some goods and services. So what is happening is, we are providing factor of production and these organizations are providing goods and services. So when we are providing factor of production, in return what we are getting from these organizations, we are getting factor income, which we have studied just now. So factor income like rent, wages, interest and profit. If we are providing land, we are getting rent. If we are providing labor, we are getting wages or salaries. If we are providing capital, we are getting interest. And if we are providing the entrepreneurship, we are getting the profits. So that factor income we are getting. So what is happening now? These organizations, how they are able to pay for these factor of production? The goods and services they are selling in the market, for that they are getting the payments from these household only. So for example, if I am working in some university, I am getting salary. So I am providing the services, in return I am getting salary. So what I am using with that salary, what I am doing? So I am buying some goods and services. Maybe I am buying a cloth, maybe I am buying a shoe, maybe I am buying a watches. Again, when I am buying a watch of a particular brand, again for that good I am paying the services, and employee of that organization are getting their salaries. So income will keep on moving in a circular flow. So income of one person will become, expenditure of one person will become the income of another. This is the first principle for the circular flow of income. Another is, goods and services flow in one direction, and the payment for these goods and services, money payment of these goods and services, flow in another direction. So either we have the real flow or we have the money flow. Real flow means flow of goods and services, whereas money flow means flow of money payments. So there is a circular flow of both real and money flow in the two sector model. Then coming to the a bigger model, because we are in the two sector model only talking about two different sectors, which is, one is the firm, second is the household. But in reality, if you see, there are other players as well in the economy.
Government
is there, banking system is there, financial sector we call it, maybe the banks or NBFCs, then rest of the world is also there. So let us try to understand that open economy in which we have different sectors and how the income is flowing in those sectors. So to understand it, we can make a chart. So students, which is available in your notebook or in the book which is provided to you. So let us try to understand. So the two main organizations or two main different entities, households and firms, let us try to understand these two and their relations, how the money is moving from one sector to another, and then we'll include another sector one by one and we will make a complete model. So when we talk about household and firms, just now we have understood that whenever we are providing the goods and services, these organizations are providing the goods and services, households are paying for those goods and services. That is the reason. So we will mark a arrow. That means money is moving from the household to the firms. On the other hand side, these organizations are paying for the factor services. Because we are providing factor of production, they are making payment for that. So money will move from these firms or organizations towards the household. That is the relationship between household and firms. Now let us include the financial sector, which is bank. Because in the earlier model we were not talking about the savings, but in actual life we do save. Whatever salary or whatever income we are getting, some portion of that we do save, especially in the Asian countries. So what will happen is these households will save some amount in banks. They will keep some amount in their fixed deposit, maybe the savings account. So that money is getting to the financial sector. And again, when we talk about the relationship between households and financial sector, we are not only saving in financial sector, we are taking loans also. We are borrowing also from the banks. Maybe to buy a house, we are taking loan. Maybe to buy a car also, personal loans also, we are taking from the financial sector. So this is how money is moving from one household to these banks or financial sector, and these financial sector to the household. Now let us talk about the relationship between financial sector and firms. Because these organizations also, producers also save some amount of their cash flows in the bank. So they are saving in the banks. Similarly, they are borrowing from the banks or the financial sector. Because for our organization, if they have to start a business, they have to take loan. Most of the organizations are taking loans. So that is the borrowings. This is how the income is moving from the firms to the financial sector and financial sector to the firm. So now till this time, we have studied three different sectors: household, firms and financial sector. Now let us include government. How the government is playing an important role in the movement of the income. So let us first understand the relationship between household and the government. So if you see, we as the households are paying taxes to the government, which is not the factor income but non-factor income, because it is a transfer income. We are not providing any, so whatever what we are getting in return. So we'll talk about another part, how government is, you know, benefiting the people or the society. But when we are paying taxes, so the movement will be from household towards the government, which will be a non-factor income. So in return, what we are getting? So whatever taxes that we are paying, maybe the government is making certain transfer payments, maybe they are providing certain subsidies, for example on LPG cylinder. For example, if government is giving the benefit directly to our accounts, so we are getting in our account from the government. So again, money is moving from the government and towards the household. Similarly, payment for services, the free services which government is providing, maybe the free hospitals, maybe the free roads, for which we need not make any expenses. So again, the income is moving from the government towards the household. So as a household, we are paying taxes and government is providing subsidies, government is providing free services. So that is, again, they are paying for it and the income is moving.
Now we were discussing about the circular flow of income. Yes, we know that household, which is an important aspect in the circular flow of income, which is having connection with the financial sector, with the firms, with the government and with the rest of the world, that is playing a major role in getting income, or will that is helping to flow the income in a circular way. That is household. So we can discuss that in detail. Just now we have discussed how household and financial sector is linking, and how firms and financial sector is linking, and how government and firms have linked. Now we can move to the other factors also.
So now comes the role of government and firms. So these organizations and government, they are also interacting. For example, when these firms are generating the revenue, when they are generating the profits, they are paying taxes to the government. Maybe a 30% flat rate they are paying as taxes to the government. So there is a movement from the firms to the government. And what these governments are doing, again, whatever goods they need for the collective use of the people, maybe they want to make a bridge, they want to make a road, provide free hospitals. So who will provide these services or who will produce? These organizations. So whatever consumption of the government is there, they are paying for the goods and services to these firms. So there is a flow from the government to these organizations. Apart from that, these government or the government of a particular state or a particular center, they are also providing subsidies to these organizations, maybe the cottage industry, for example. So when they are producing the goods and services, the government wants to promote that industry, and maybe they will bear some expenses or they will pay subsidy for it. So for the recent discussion we were having regarding the Swayam, for example, so whatever expenses are there, so Swayam is one platform which is available to the students, from where you can download the resources for different subjects, the courses which you are opting for. And for that, the Ministry of HRD has taken the initiative in which they are providing you free of cost services, free of cost resources,
educational services.
So if you want to maybe download some PDF or material related to a particular book or maybe a particular subject, you can download it from there. So there are expenses involved. So who is bearing those expenses? The government is bearing those expenses. So they are providing the subsidies. Any particular organization which is contributing to that platform, government is bearing the expenses. So there is a movement from the government towards these organizations or firms in form of subsidies. Or the cottage industry example that we have taken, maybe, so when we are providing the goods and services, they are paying to those organizations so that they will, there will be a promotion of those goods and services. So this is how the government and these firms are interrelated. Coming to the rest of the world, so when we talk about the foreign countries or firms which are operating in the foreign arena or foreign countries, in India, in our country, we are exporting certain goods and services to the outside world. So when we are exporting the goods and services to the outside world, what we are getting in return? We are getting the income for that. Similarly, if we are importing the goods and services from the outside world, we are maybe importing the pharmaceutical products, maybe we are importing perfumes, maybe tiles or some another good and services, for that we are paying outside. So money is going outside, income is going outside. This is how these firms and rest of the world or the entire economy is related with the rest of the world. So this is how in these five sectors money is flowing from one end to the another end and from the another end to the original end. So this is known as the circular flow of income, and sometimes we call it five sector model. So from the point of view of examination, it is very important to understand how the income is flowing in our country from household to firms to financial sectors to government and to within the rest of the world, and we call it the circular flow of income.
I think to understand the meaning of national income, it is essential to understand some more concepts like domestic territory and normal resident also.
So when we talk about domestic territory, it is different from the geographical or political territory of a country. Domestic territory of a country may include or will include the political frontiers of the country, including its territorial waters, ships and aircrafts operated by the normal residents of the country between two or more countries. For example, if Air India is providing services throughout the world, so whatever services you are providing, it will be included. Fishing vessels, oil and natural gas, it will be included. Foreign embassies, Indian embassies will be included. So all these where our residents are working or providing services will be known as the domestic territory.